Data is the backbone of solutions. It helps us see where we've been and enables us to look into the future. It's also helping Dan, one of our colleagues, to understand his diabetes better. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Dan Baker. Hi, Dan.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks, Amy. So I'm an evangelist at Microsoft. I specialize in cloud and AI. But today, I want to talk about how I've been able to reverse my type 2 diabetes and improve my quality of life. Now, I was diagnosed almost 30 years ago. And to be honest, this has been something that I've had to fight with ever since. And not just the disease, but the stereotypes behind it. You see, type 2 diabetes is a byproduct of metabolic syndrome, and that's nothing more than a combination of issues that are caused by poor lifestyle choices. I can remember that this affected my dad too. In fact, one of my most vivid memories was of him getting a blister on his toe, then a week later having to have half of his foot amputated due to infection. As you can imagine, it terrified me because it was like looking at my own future. But if I'm brutally honest with myself, I never really understood the disease. I was ignorant and I ran with the advice that I'd been told. What's more, as it progressed, I needed to consume more and more medication to maintain control. Now, this put significant strain on the NHS, who today spend around £9 billion a year treating the millions of Britons thought to be living with the condition. For me, though, you know, this really came to a head in late 2017 when I was diagnosed with diabetic retinopathy, a breakdown of the cells in the back of my eyes, which, to be honest, if left untreated, would eventually lead to me going blind. At this point, I knew that I needed to take ownership of the problem. I couldn't afford to passively follow the advice of my medical team because the disease was just getting worse. So I decided that I would reduce the problem to data.
Oh, gosh. I mean, firstly, thank you for sharing so broadly with us. But how did you tackle that with the data? Let's jump into that.
Well, let me just state for the record, Amy, I'm not a developer. Or at least certainly nowhere near as capable of some of our viewers and my peers at Microsoft. But as you can see, I do love technology. And I can remember being totally blown away by Scott Hanselman's demo way back in 2015, when he demonstrated how he was using continuous glucose monitoring to help with his condition. Now, Scott is type 1, and that's a very different condition to mine. But it did get me thinking about how I might use some of that technology to help myself. So, you know, I'll be honest with you, I took a leap of faith and I emailed him. I mean, you know, why not? I work for Microsoft. Surely reaching out to superstars like Scott is nothing more than a perk of the job. And to his credit, he was more than willing to help, pushing me towards the developer community and a project called Night Scout. So, you know, off I went and, I had total imposter syndrome. I kept thinking to myself, I don't belong with these people. I am not a developer. But that quickly faded. I mean, I couldn't believe just how much information was available and how much people were willing to help. It really is a community. You know, it was just full of people who were tired of waiting and simply wanted to make their situation better.
And Scott Hanselman is obviously wowing us, even in the last couple of days with his amazing keynote. And it's so fantastic to hear the community kind of jumped in to your aid. So well done to the DevSphere. Good work. So what happened next? Devs jumped in. They were there to support. Like, what did you build?
Well, you know, the first step of the project was to set up continuous monitoring of my levels. I'd become aware of the sensors that you could purchase, and that would allow me to take readings by using near-field communication. But this meant holding my phone up to scan throughout the day. And to be honest, once I'd bitten the bug and invested my time into the project, what I wanted to do was make this automated too. So I found an NFC bridge, a small cap that fitted over the initial sensor and performed a scan every 5 minutes. What's more, because it was tethered, that data collection then became hands-free. It was from here that the project really came into its own. I was able to run a small app that pushed the data up into an Azure web app so that I could visualize the results. And then this quickly became an iframe on my magic mirror at home. Funny enough, another project that I'd seen at Microsoft Build, and I'd recently completed by hosting it in an Azure container instance.
Oh my goodness, what? So it's very nice that you hosted it in a web app, like great stuff, because at Build, obviously, we just released a static web app. So go ahead and try that. That'll be great fun. But talk to me again about this magic mirror. You've not got a magic mirror.
I don't have a magic mirror, but listen, for the sake of transparency, Amy, I only did it because I thought it would look cool. I mean, you know, unless you're standing in front of the mirror and watching the data, what does it really achieve? But it did get me thinking about how I could make better use of the information being collected. And as that turns out, it was pretty simple to do. You see, the web app used a small database. So what I decided to do was pull it across to a Cosmos DB instance, and I did that using the Microsoft migration tools. This was nothing more than running a simple wizard and waiting for the magic to happen, which honestly took no time at all. Once done, I was able to connect the database into Power BI, which not only allowed me to visualize the data from the sensor, but also build historical graphs and track trends and then ask questions from the simple query tools. And again, not being a developer, not being, you know, particularly used to these tools, I was blown away by just how simple it was to connect everything together using the data ingestion tools of the product. And this in turn gave me the confidence to try and bring in the data from the other wearables that I was, you know, that I had. I mean, why not the sleep data from my fitness tracker or the punch statistics from my boxing trackers or, you know, my body composition from the machines at the gym? Again, we're surrounded by data. Why was I not making better use of it?
Oh, amazing. And you sent me a picture of your dashboard, and we're just going to show it really quickly because I was really impressed by this. So let me grab this because I just think it's well worth the time. Here we go. So you sent me this amazing graphic, and I was just blown away by, number one, the amount of data that you were speaking about as well, but also just, you know, seeing kind of all of this stuff come together. Did you find this useful?
You know, immensely useful. It was brilliant. I could look at things like the basal metabolic rate. I could look at how many calories I was consuming. You know, I was able to look at the real-time streaming analytics from the Power BI platform. And it was this that really helped me, you know, start to understand the problem. You know, and I say again, we're surrounded by data. We need to make better use of it.
Yeah, totally agree. But yeah, thank you for sharing this with me, but we'll carry on. So at this point, you've automated the collection of glucose readings, and you visualized it on this dashboard. So what happened next? Like, how did you start to break down this data?
Well, here's where the story gets interesting. By seeing this massive influx of data and being able to set trends, I began to get better insights into what my diet and my exercise routines were doing to my body. Now, you know, Amy, we know each other. Let me just level with you. I've read every diet book out there, and let me tell you, they all contradict one another. You pick one up and you're, you know, living off plants. You pick another book up and then you're convincing yourself that you need to be a carnivore. I even picked a book up that told me to put butter in my tea.
No.
I did.
That can't be a diet thing. Butter in your tea. I feel like I have too much butter anyway. Like, I should cut that out of my diet just for natural sort of healthiness. But goodness.
It was in a book. It was backed up by a social media influencer. So I thought, you know what? Give it a try. But gross. By reducing the problem to data, I was able to see the facts. I had clarity, and clarity empowers you to make better decisions. So I began self-experimenting. I started looking at what I was eating and how long it took to elevate my sugar levels, and then how long those sugar levels would remain high. What I discovered was that my sugar levels were not dropping, and this was because the mean time between meals was set too low. So let me elaborate. Now, it takes between 8 to 12 hours for the body to digest food, with the macronutrients beginning to break it down at around the 3.5 hour mark. But we're having 3 meals per day. And even if we're generous and say that they're spaced out at 7 hour intervals, we're, you know, if we're honest, we're still not allowing the digestive cycle to complete. On top of this, we like to snack. You know, we are all guilty of it. Be it a biscuit or a banana, it's going to break the digestive cycle. And that increases insulin resistance, which, you know, for some can lead to metabolic syndrome and unfortunately, weight gain.
Gosh, that was an insight for you. And you got that from looking at this data. So what other conclusions were you able to, what were you able to learn?
Well, I mean, to learn this, I'll be honest with you, I use my HoloLens. I mean, they say a picture paints a thousand words, but what better way to learn the digestive system than to simply take a walk around it? But you know what else I found incredible? The time that I was eating. For example, if I ate my breakfast at 6 a.m., my sugar levels would be significantly higher than if I ate that exact same meal a few hours later.
Gosh, why is that?
Well, in my opinion, I believe it's cortisol. You know, cortisol is our flight or fight hormone. You see, when we wake up, our cortisol levels are elevated. It sets us up for the day and ensures that we get out of bed. But this can increase insulin production, which can in turn cause insulin resistance, especially if you're prone to metabolic syndrome. So eating when my cortisol levels were elevated caused my blood sugar levels to be that much higher. Ultimately, I found that my optimal eating pattern was one large meal per day between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. This meant that my sugar levels would rise, but then significantly reduce as the day progressed. What's more, by not having to process food, my sleep cycles began to improve. I fell asleep easier and the quality of sleep was that much higher. Again, by collecting the data from the wealth of devices around me, I began to build a better picture of what was happening to my body. This enabled me to ultimately make the right decisions.
It's amazing work. It's really, really cool that you've used the data, connected all your different devices and kind of just made it happen, made it work for you. Really, really inspiring. But really quickly, what, as all good devs want to ask, what's next? Like, what are we going to see from you next? Where do we go next?
So again, you know, I'm looking at build, I'm looking at, you know, all of the new things coming out. And it's from there that I want to try and modify this. Again, you know, I want to tie this into my smart home. I want to be able to control my hormones by using my smart lights because it's working. You know, if I look back today, I'm in a good place. I'm 70 pounds lighter, 11 inches smaller, and I haven't used any medication for over a year. That's 4 injections and 12 tablets that I had to take every day. Now, the recent adjustments to life have not been without their repercussions. The lockdown and the closure of gyms have meant that once again, I've had to use data to help identify, respond, and reflect on the changes that are happening to my body. I'm far from fixed, Amy, but what technology is doing for me is it's allowing me to tackle the issues without medication. The right tools are providing me with the insights that I need to stay on top of the situation. This tied in with a little bit of grit and determination are allowing me to live a healthier and happier life.
Perfect. Oh, Dan, thanks so much for your time. Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. Yeah. And if people want to find out more, they go to your website, right? azuredan.co.uk/iome. Is that one right?
That's the one. Yep,
I am. Perfect. All right. Thank you for your time, Dan. And it's truly inspiring to see the power of technology. In fact, if you have an inspiring story or experience that you think the developer community wants to hear about, share it on Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn with the hashtag #BuildForGood. Showcase your story and inspire others to innovation. After the break, we'll head back to a chill zone. Stay tuned.